It is Thursday the 13th of June, and this is episode 169 of Digital Outbox. Another episode, yes, I say another episode. For you listeners, there's a gap between these two. For us, there's been a mere matter of about 12 hours. we're back in the hot seat. I'm Chris, and I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Evening, Chris. I would point out it's 24 hours, but obviously one of us is more tired than the other.
Oh, the podcast never ends for me. 12 hours afterwards, it's still ticking
the
over in my mind.
Never ends.
We talked about the WWDC in our last podcast. So this time we're going to crack on with E3, which is obviously the other major thing going on in the gaming arena.
Biggest E3 for years.
E3 was brought around because the gaming industry couldn't be asked making loads of demos for another expo, so they tried to pare it all back and shrink it all down, make it into E3, and they have just gone nuts with E3 now instead.
I guess for the last sort of 2-3 years, everybody's been saying, when's the new consoles coming? When's the new consoles? They're here.
Yeah, so it's other than Nintendo, who've already got theirs out, apparently. Have you heard about it? So basically, we've got the big announcements for the big consoles, and Microsoft started off with the big, Xbox One, not the reveal, obviously, because we've had that, but the game reveal, really, talking about the console from a game point of view. And so they showed 13 exclusive games that they're going to be bringing to Xbox One. Does that excite you, the fact we got 13 exclusive there?
Give me the X-Bone.
Yeah, I didn't too. You kind of saw them. They kicked off everything, though, with Metal Gear Solid. That's not an exclusive, though, is it? So
no. was a very odd choice to say, like, here's all these exclusives coming, apart from this one.
Yeah, and we're going to start with the non-exclusive. So, yeah, it's, Metal Gear Solid is what it is. It depends. Some people love those games, and other people, I've never got into them. Because, first of all, they were PlayStation, and I, even when they came to Microsoft a couple of iterations back, it's still, they're kind of quirky. They're weird. And they're hardcore, and they seem.
The first couple were fantastic for me. So seeing, like, I don't know if it was PS1 or 2 when they came out, and there was all the kind of vibrating pad for the first time when it told you to put the pad down on your desk, and it was, it vibrates, that's fantastic. But the latest ones are just like, I don't know, just CGI twatfests. Yeah, and I just can't be bothered. I mean, it's like they outdid themselves the other day. It was like, that 3-minute trailer's not enough. Here's an exclusive 9-minute trailer. It's like, I don't care.
But anyway, it's coming, so there you go.
It was a nice donkey for you, innit?
Yeah, it looked wonderful. Rise, Son of Rome. This was an exclusive to Xbox One. Kind of an interactive thing, really. So lots of quick time events. So
God
hitting a button at the right. Yeah, okay. Hitting a button. Impressive visuals, whatever. But I have to say, I mean, I'm sure we'll summarise. The visuals overall, I wouldn't have been surprised to see some of these visuals on Xbox 360. I'm not blown away this time, and I think that's always going to happen because it's a step change and it's more and more detail, isn't it? Rather than, sometimes I think they have to make the technology to make things to take that step on.
No, graphics, as you said, probably wouldn't surprise if like the new God of War on PS3 or a similar
good,
game, and yeah. But I think it was just the amount of kind of characters on screen. There was at one point it was hundreds.
Yeah, and they're all playing on that. Dead Rising, which you've. I'm sure we'll talk about it in a sec, but anyway. Killer Instinct, blah, 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 launch title. Kinect Sport Rivals, blah, blah, blah. Sunset Overdrive. Weird. That was a cartoony kind of arcade game. I don't know where that came from. But
and then I actually watched it further. It then turned into like zombie killing nonsense and lots of shooting. And it looks like it then started, there was bits of it reminding me of kind of Crackdown. It was just kind of big jumps and lots of shooting and weird, but weird.
Yeah. Forza 5, obviously that's a massive launch title for them. It looks like more of the same, really. There seems to be a lot of city driving going on. They're cracking on about their new Drivatar technology, it's been around for a while, haven't it? They're storing all the data now in the cloud, and your Drivatar then gets set free and gets it just a load of bullshit.
I'm laughing because I just remembered what made me chuckle, because they showed this driver to a video and they were talking about how it will be, instead of playing like lots of AI cars, you've now got this kind of, you'll be playing up, you know, playing even when you're not online, and be able to play against your drive avatar and other people's drive avatars. And the clip they showed was just somebody crashing right into somebody.
Yeah, just absolutely like, nailing nowhere. Them. Yeah.
And it was like, great. It was real world. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
60 frames per second though. And the, what they're calling in their car porn, you know, their kind of show off the models setting was, you know, again, another step above and all those kind of nice things. In game, again, how much more you notice, I don't know. I wouldn't have been able to tell you it wasn't Xbox, you know, Forza 4 basically. But anyway, that's coming. Minecraft looks like Minecraft. Quantum Break, so another one of these, it looks like a cinematic type game, right?
Yep.
With some, I think they were even going to put some real action footage in, weren't they, and stuff.
Yeah.
So it looks a bit strange that D4, a kind of adventure game. But Project Spark, another weird one, like a game maker almost. So you basically, you get to choose an environment, put in characters, put in enemies, and play a game. Yeah, you know what it reminded me of? You remember Spore?
Yes.
Spore came with so much potential, and when you actually played it, it was a bit rubbish, really. In Spore, you could create your own alien, and you could choose how it reproduced and go and, you know, got around the galaxy. But actually, in real life, it was just a load of rubbish.
And it kind of demoed like different kind of games that you can develop in it, but it all felt a bit.
Yeah.
It's almost like the. It almost seems like a to-do list, a checklist of, we're going to a console, here's the type of genres we need to tick. Dump, 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 dump.
Oh, I really hate the Microsoft conference style as well. I'll bring it up here. That it's all so scripted and cheese fest. I mean, the thing is, good for them, they're being consistent with it, as in they've kept this style now for the last, you know, four or five conferences we've seen, but it really is pretty tardy.
It just grates. It just
really hi! Yeah! I'm saccharine sweet.
Yeah. Hi, Don.
Yeah. Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. Dear God. Xbox Live, another step on. They're putting in smart glass more and more. So we've seen smart glass, obviously, on 360, but they're going to start integrating that more and more.
Smart Match was mentioned, talked about, but also...
Yeah, go on. I mean, I missed on this. I mean, what's it saying about that?
Not a lot. It was just another one of these it's a far better,
just another,
you know,
name.
Yeah, optimized way of matching. The one that I thought was nice was that they're doing a whole load of stuff about editing and sharing your gameplay videos.
Yes.
So they're obviously seeing this as a big thing. And we talked about Twitch a few times on the podcast, and when it first launched, and how it was really getting a lot of traffic. And they're doing, you know, basically everything's going to get powered through Twitch. So you can, you know, hold the gameplay moments you'll be able to share through Twitch. But the other thing they're doing is, like, as you get certain achievements, it'll automatically store the little video of when you got that achievement and pop that up as well.
Sorry, that's quite geeky.
Yeah, but sometimes, I mean, it's like, if I think back to when you had your crazy, I've sniped somebody twice.
Everything.
No, you sniped and you killed two people. And if that kind of thing went, you know, if they were able to edit that really quickly or put that online,
when you get those, agreed. When you get those ridiculous runs of stupidness, like, you kill about seven people. For me, that's exciting. For you, it's every day.
It's exciting.
But you get your little, like, thing. And they're calling it game DVR, you know, so basically it's constantly storing the last X minutes of your playing footage, you know, ongoing. And you can then go into their editing suite to actually trim and edit and, you know, add titles to and stuff and then upload via Twitch.
And you'd mentioned smart glass. They seem to be doing a lot more to actually make that a proper, you know, companion place. Mm. Easy to get stats, easy to see who's online, etc. And the one thing they demoed that looked really good was playing a single player game and able to swap into a totally different game in multiplayer almost instantly.
Yeah,
really, really slick.
So they were using smart glass for things like I'm trying to think of the game now, Modern Warfare type thing, where you get to choose where to put a missile strike. You can do that now via smart glass, and you know what it does? It just puts the finger up to Nintendo, because the whole thing about the Wii U is this second screen that you've got on your controller, and in one foul swoop they've kind of said, well, we can do that and we can do it in a much better way
I think Call of Duty showed it.
This total miss.
Yep. Call of Duty showed it, and I think Battlefield 4 showed it. They've got a separate mode, like Commander mode or yes. something, and you can actually tactically bring things in, and you're a special role within your 32-player team. One thing, no more Microsoft points, real money.
Yes.
So they've talked about that for ages.
And they kind of half brought it in with things like movie rentals and things like that, didn't they? But it's still hanging around for arcade and stuff like that. But yeah, that's a goner. So no more calculating the real rates.
And something we'll never use, but there's no more limits in friends.
No, I'm happy with my three friends, thank you very much. Yeah, so for those that were getting frustrated, the fact that you had 100 limit on it, that is no more. Saw more games, Crimson Dragon, which is like Panzer Dragoon, Dead Rising 3. So that was a big one. And this is an exclusive. But effectively, your basic zombie. Zombie avoiding, running away from, killing, smashing, chainsawing type affair. I've not played any of the other Dead Risings. People seem to be raving over this, so I expect people are quite keen on it.
Dead Rising, I played the first one, didn't do the second one. The first one, I actually quite enjoyed it, but it was kind of short, intense, you know, moments within levels.
Yep.
And this is the kind of next gen. You know it's a next-gen game because it's massive and it's open world.
Whether that's going to be any better, though, we don't, you know, who knows?
Exactly, because, you know, we've said it before, GTA 4, multiplayer can't wait, and it was very unfocused. So just because it's a big open world doesn't mean it's better.
Oh, and Left 4 Dead did hundreds and hundreds of zombies very well. So have we seen it all? Is it all a bit late, really? Maybe an open world does give you a different perspective on things. But I say with most games, you know, open worlds are very good, but they have to be controlled in some ways. You have to be directed where you need to go to. Witcher 3, again, people were excited about it. I'm not really followed any of those. Graphically, everything looks tight, doesn't it? Battlefield 4 definitely looked impressive.
That just looked so busy. There's just so much
almost
happening.
Too busy.
Yeah. You know, Lura looks one of these things where you can get almost overwhelmed by everything that's happening around about you.
Battlefield's always been a bit like that, but not in a so many big things going on all at once type way. Whether being out on the moving water and stuff like that makes a big difference to the gameplay, I don't really know. It's probably similar.
The thing was that I think during the Xbox one, they showed you a single player demo, and it was during the EA keynote they showed you the multiplayer, which looked amazing. You know, it's just so much happening, so much going on, so many different options. That looks a real must-buy title.
Halo 2014, they just did a sort of sneak reveal, didn't give anything away, Master Chief and a big, massive thing. 60 frames per second, though, apparently.
This kind of sums up, you know, these kind of keynotes for Microsoft. We'll take full advantage of Xbox One, well, of course it will, and rely on cloud computing and dedicated servers all running at 60 frames per second. And it's like, what does that mean?
Cloud computing and dedicated servers don't need to run at 60 frames per second. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but does it finally mean we're maybe getting, you know, 64 versus 64 or 32 versus
And is that
32?
A good idea?
Halo 2, all we've had the most is 8 versus 8.
Mm.
So it's something that always differentiates it. You know, if you look at Killzone, they pushed up, Battlefield's pushed up. So
bigger's not always better. Pricing though, it did get revealed. So it's $499.
Speaking of big,
yeah, $499, £429, €499. Big wodge of cash. More or just about the same, maybe as Xbox One. Maybe a bit more actually.
The Xbox One.
How do I say the first Xbox then? Xbox.
The original. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Xbox.
the box that actually had an X on it. Big money. And they're also talking maybe $100 for games as well. And with games becoming digital download, the chances of there being, you know, reduced rate games, you know, you normally at the moment go onto Amazon, buy for 10 quid less, don't you? But with digital download, that's not going to be as easy, I don't think.
No, it's a couple of folk pointed that out on Facebook to me. It was because as soon as I saw the digital download, I was like, thankfully, part of me gets a bit hacked off dealing with discs and
it's from
post, etc. And it is pointless, but fair enough. If the download's like 40 gig, you know, you're like, that could take quite a while. And also it will be full price, whereas a disc will be discounted.
Yeah, and I wonder whether they'll let you do the pre-download ahead of launch ready, because with all the DRM they've got around it, they should be able to keep something on your console ready for launch day, you know. Let you have it at midnight, but pretty much discs are only going to be data transporters, because you can't play it from a disc, you have to install it onto your hard drive. But there you go. We had a few other things sort of clarified, if you like, through after the actual.
Well, there was some before display. they got the dirty news out kind of Friday before.
Hide it behind the shiny stuff, yeah.
And everybody expected this because they did their hardware launch 2 weeks ago, and there was so many unanswered questions, and they tried to do blog posts, they tried to answer it. It just made it worse and worse. Mm. And I think when the final news came out, it was probably what everybody was kind of fearing.
Yep. So it does need to connect to the internet every 24 hours to keep your offline gaming. So you basically can't be offline and play single player.
Yeah. Which it's
a stance. It's a stance.
I don't like it, and it's purely because on the odd occasions when you do lose broadband for a couple of days, it's happened to me maybe, I don't know, 2-3 times over the last 5-6 years.
There's going to be a lot of people up in arms about that. I mean, and other people have that quite commonly, as in it happens in some regions more often than others.
Yeah, I just think I've bought a game and basically because I can't connect to the internet, I can't use something that I've paid for no other reason
than so
many online, to your server.
So many online aspects to all games, most games nowadays, shall I say. I don't know, all's not fair. That's kind of the right thing. It happens anyway, you know.
I'm trying to balance it out and being realistic, but most of the games I play are multiplayer anyway. Mm. So the chances are if the internet was down, I wouldn't be playing much single player anyway. So I try and say, well, fair dues, but there's a lot of people, you know, certainly
I've asked. A lot of people bitching, but whether that actually means that much to them, I don't know.
I asked, I actually did a straw poll. I asked a couple of folk at work that aren't as geeky as me, they've got kids, you know, and it was what do you think of the Xbox One? And it was the internet one was not that big a deal. It was more the issue about reselling games.
Mm. So, and that turns out that it's going to be up to the publishers to decide whether their games can be resold. Now, I mean, yes, I mean, basically, yeah, Microsoft is saying they're not going to charge for a reseller. They're not going to charge a platform fee. That's because at one point there was rumors that Xbox might actually charge a fee flat off, you know, for Microsoft to release your license, basically. But that's not going to be the case. It's up to the platform, the developers themselves to say whether they want their games resold and whether there's going to be a charge to do that.
Yeah. And I've also got this kind of sucky idea that you know, if I wanted to gift you a game, you'd have to be on my friends list for 30 days. Mm. And you can only do that once. Mm. You know, so I can't, you know, it's like I can give that to you, but I can't give it to somebody else.
You know what this is, though? I think as much as we're saying the PlayStation platform is open, and we'll come onto that in a bit, PlayStation is open as far as it's up to the developers to do what they like, and the developers on PlayStation could do exactly the same as this. And a lot of these things that are being brought in, if you look at it from the developer's point of view, this is what they want. This is a way that, because they lose money even on these massive blockbusters, they can earn, you know, millions and millions back from developing their games. But if they don't break, you know, if they don't break even, then, you know, there's a lot on the table, basically, and they lost money on some big titles. Even though they got a lot of money back from the games, they still didn't break even because it just costs that much for them to make these games. But yeah, I think even though there's a lot of slagging going off at the moment because they've got these things on the platform, I just think that we'll see a lot of this on PlayStation just by developers putting it in place themselves.
I agree. I mean, EA was questioned. Remember they talked about their, you know, why they're taking out their online pass, and they said, have you bullied, you know, the console makers? And they were like, no, nothing to do with us, we just thought online pass, we realized it's a bad idea,
but only because they knew that this was coming along and they didn't have to do it, so they get some good press while they could grab it. Another there was concern that you have to have connected to your Xbox One at all times, and it always listens. So there was concern about what it was doing to that data that it was listening to, because obviously it has to be able to pick out keywords. So Microsoft has sort of moved to quell the people's, well, conspiracy theories, I guess. They're saying that it's not listening and uploading your conversations. It's listening for one keyword and that's it.
And that never really bothered me, but obviously...
Other people were just interested, I guess, more than anything.
Yep. And we've already covered this one, that the games will be available digital digitally on its release date. So that's every game.
Yeah, like I say, that's going to cause pricing issues. You're going to have to be, you're going to be paying full whack for games. And like I say, I think full whack might end up being 60 quid nowadays. Ouch. They also released a new Xbox 360. Well, they announced it. In fact, you could order it, couldn't you? You can actually now get it.
So a very Apple-esque move available on that same day.
Yeah.
So it was a kind of new, kind of almost like a small boxy console. So it's almost like they've got a little brother and a big brother coming out soon. Fair enough, they've done a redesign. They've tried to almost align a family, which did tie up with the one kind of comment that came out, you know, right at the end. Was from Dan, is it Matrick? Don Matrick. This was all this controversy about, you know, why do we need to have an internet connection eventually? And he says, fortunately, we have a product for people who aren't able to get some form of connectivity. It's called Xbox 360.
yeah, as someone else pointed out, no, it's not. It's called PS4.
Yeah, because it's because that kind of message, it's like, so you're telling me I have to go and buy an 8-year-old product because I can't connect to the internet.
But what it does, I mean, what he's kind of saying there is that the 360's still got a lot of life in it, which it always feels like it has up until the point that the new console comes out, and then it kind of just dies away real quick because it ain't where the interest's at. But I hear what he's saying. Go and use this console; it's great. But no one wants to stay in the past, do they? Not be forced into the past if they want to.
But alongside the 360 announcement, they also talked about another benefit for Gold membership, and that's 2 free games per month. So similar to the kind of PlayStation Plus, where you get a couple of games or 3 games every month, and that was really it for PlayStation. I think there was a magazine and video content, etc. So what they're saying in Xbox is you know starting from July, and if the first kind of couple of games are talking about are Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2, which is fine.
What it's screaming to me is the fact that they're going to be putting up Xbox Live. I think they've released prices of Xbox Live, have they? Subscription. I think they're going to be putting up that rate, and they're trying to justify it for Xbox 360.
I don't think they will.
Okay.
I don't think they will.
We'll see. So that was kind of Microsoft.
There was one game we missed, actually, it was one game I was very excited about. Titanfall.
Were you excited by it? Big mech sort of first person shooter. It looked kind of involved.
I don't know why, but I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, I'm getting cynical about games, but it kind of looked it did remind me of Modern Warfare, but just in a different way. You know, because these mechs obviously get called in when you've done enough kill streaks and killed enough people and stuff. So,
and it reminded me of the big walker that I get in Halo that I jump into and stomp around and shoot people with. And I thought, ooh, a game with all that, and if you can do lots with your mech, ooh, I quite fancy that. And it did look very next gen-y. It did actually look a step up.
And it did look involved. But I just saw another first-person shooter. But maybe I wasn't looking closely enough, really.
So I was going to ask you about, you know, buying a console, but maybe we should do the PS4.
Yeah,
first,
let's get through PS4. Yeah.
Yep.
Chew the cud on that. Sony's announcement came on the back of Microsoft's, and they kicked off with things like Vita, trying to tell you that that's still around and they're still making content for it.
Please buy one. Yeah, please.
Someone. Anyone. But basically, they're going to bring out a lot of PS3 remakes basically onto the Vita. I don't know if they did say there's still quite a lot going on with PS3, which was true.
Well, yep, Last of Us is out tomorrow, which has got, I mean, universally it's got excellent ratings, with people saying potentially one of the best games of this generation. So there's still life there. They talked about Puppeteer, and they showed you a game called Rain.
I've seen the demos of that before now. So this is like a little child that you can't see unless he's in the rain. You can then see him, so you have to hide in the dryness.
And there was Beyond Two Souls, there was Gran Turismo 6.
Yeah, because you kind of forget that GT6 is coming out for the PS3.
I wonder why.
I wonder why too, because otherwise they'd never release a new one. And Arkham Origins Batman, that's coming out on the PS3 as well, even though I assume it's going to be release date not far off the actual new gen.
Yeah, and there's a few games like that, because that's probably something we didn't say about
GTA
Xbox.
GTA is definitely one of those games.
Yeah, but Xbox is out in November, and you've got EA doing things like, they've already put the release date.
You said October, didn't you?
Who?
I'm sure we were arguing yesterday. You said October, I said November.
No, I said November.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll shut up.
I wasn't arguing.
I'll get my coat.
I wish you would. I can get sued on my own then. But no, it's with that out on in November, you've got things like FIFA coming out end of September on the 360. Mm. And I'm sure coming out on the day of release, whenever the new Xbox comes out.
So yeah, there's two games there that, yes.
You're not going to buy that twice.
You wouldn't have thought,
you know what
so.
I mean? You're not going to buy that twice. And it's going to be the same for PS2. You've got, obviously, all these games coming out. Gran Turismo 6, there's no date. But Batman Arkham Origins is October. And are they going to bring, I mean, would they wait? Would they bring out a rehashed one in March, April? I guess we'll still a few months away to know exactly
what
when
it, what
that
it
is.
Does say is that they didn't really let the, I mean, game, obviously, development cycles are so long nowadays that they didn't let them know in time before it. They'd already kicked it all off. And it, maybe they just decided that this is too close to actually be bothered to rebuild it again for the next gen. Because obviously, if they build it for next gen, they've got to take advantage of all those things. So.
And GTA 5 was shown, and people were going, oh, maybe there's some sort of exclusivity. And all it was an exclusive hardware bundle. Yes,
the headset.
And an exclusive headset.
Whoop, whoop. then onto PS4, so the details. Released the design.
It reminded me of the PS2.
Yeah, it did. It reminded me as well. Version of the PS2 at the end, kind of thing. So it is smaller than the Xbox One. But
I
again,
think everything's smaller than the Xbox One.
But I don't think, I think it's irrelevant pretty much. Maybe people, I don't know, but I mean, maybe that's not fair. I mean, maybe it is relevant, but for me, it's irrelevant. It just sits under your TV, doesn't it?
I tend to agree, but then you look at that Mac Pro that was shown the other day.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
And
yeah.
You look at the power in that thing, and fair enough, maybe they'll melt. And
we don't know. Yeah, that's probably why they went.
And also the Xbox One that we're saying is dear at 420. I'm sure you could add another two in front of that, and you might be able to afford a Mac Pro.
Yes, it's all
great
relative.
Design usually costs quite a lot of money.
Yeah, and not only that, we have no idea yet where the hardware. There's going to be hardware issues this generation. Who's going to have it? So maybe Microsoft has decided they want to have a bit more.
I tell you something, they better not be loud fans anymore, because that will kill me.
There's going to be even louder fans, bet you.
Oh.
So yeah, we have the design. They're going to have the kind of services they announced. You know, your pretty standard stuff: video unlimited, music unlimited services are going to be there again. Netflix and all the other kind of standard streaming services are going to be available.
I don't know how you felt then. The game demos I thought were really poor. I just was really disappointed by what they started demoing, because it was they showed you like this game called The Order 1886. It was all cinematics.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what took away is the cinematics rather than gameplay footage.
Killzone, we'd seen much before, didn't really see much new. Drive Club, nothing really. Maybe we're just becoming blasé.
I think they're indie. The indie side of what they're announcing.
No, that was different.
Yeah, exactly. So they're kind of, and indie seems to be where the good new novel ideas are coming from, because these big blockbusters, there's too much variety. It's like generic films that we get nowadays. You have to go outside into the art houses to go and see a good film nowadays, because it's too much money on the line to risk it. You know, you've got to have the big budget for your cinematics and your big bangs.
And in some ways, Xbox Live Arcade seemed to be a good home for a lot of indie games, but over the last couple of years, I think a lot of the independents, it's just too expensive. You know, even just think it was Fez, which we'll talk about later. When they first released the game, there was a kind of horrible bug in it, but it was going to cost, I think, 10 or 15 grand just to release the upgrade, and they weren't selling enough. It was just like, well, I think people are just going to have to live with the bug, because Microsoft were charging too much just to go and do this tiny, tiny rollout. And I do wonder if Sony have seen that gap and thought, you know, that's where everybody's going. Look at the success of Minecraft.
Look at the success of Steam in general. I mean, where
Steam,
all those... Yeah,
Kickstarter, how many games are getting funded in Kickstarter? Yeah. There's obviously a market there. It's whether that market's big enough for the home console.
Yeah. They chucked out the latest Final Fantasy. Non-exclusive, though, so they're definitely gone. The Sony's exclusive on that has definitely been wiped out. They showed... Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't even remember seeing that. There you go.
It looked good, but again, it's a non-exclusive, which is a big deal, because usually Sony had all these kind of big RPGs, the Japanese ones anyway. It's always Sony, Nintendo, and Nintendo's dead. Oh, shouldn't have said that. But Nintendo's dying. And really the only two big consoles are you know, Xbox and
there's
Sony.
So many that are not exclusive. It's mad. Watch Dogs, all the kind of sports type stuff. Elder Scrolls is not exclusive, but it is going to have an exclusive beta. So if you if you want to get into the beta, you got to be on PS4 for that. Elder Scrolls Online is one of the ones that interests me. I love the Elder Scrolls series, and they reckon they have kind of managed to get that series into a massively multiplayer style game. So that would be quite exciting for me.
Yes, agreed.
Mad Max, how very 80s.
But it was another one. It was another big open world type game.
Which seems there's such a massive trend to open world. That seems to be how they're using the power and all these constant internet connections is to make open world games.
Well, I do wonder if it's more finally got enough RAM. You don't need to be a clever programmer. You don't need to be a rock star to
you
get
need to
you
have
know, a Grand
bit,
Theft Auto.
Get a bit of fog going into the distance.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they're just being freed. But like I say, open world doesn't always mean a better game. And they did come out after all the games, and they did confirm in massive writing on all their screens that they there would be no restrictions on used games.
It was the biggest cheer of their keynote. It was the biggest cheer of potentially E3. I mean, it was and fair enough, you don't know how much that audience has been seeded with Sony folk. You know,
I think it would have got a cheer anyway, because you know, as consumers, you're gonna want it like that.
Yep. I still think they released the best video ever, which was just a 20-second video. It was an infomercial from Sony on how the next generation were going to share games, and it was two guys, and he was holding a disc, and he says, "This is how you share games on the PS4," and it cut to another screen, and he says, "Step one," and it cut back to him, and he says, "Step one, hand your game to a friend. Step two, you've shared your game."
So they're saying that basically you are going to have a disc, and that disc is going to be the license to play that game, so you can pass it around. So we'll see because it's not necessarily going to be that, because as soon as the developer puts an online passcode or a passcode that you need to is a one-time use, that's it, that's gone. So and I think we'll see that. You can trade into retailers, you can pass it on to a friend, blah blah, it's your disc and therefore it's yours to pass around.
And also they confirmed you don't need that online connection. They're not going to poll for
To play online games, you obviously need to have their subscription service now. Although up until now, they've had the free version, haven't they? So you now need to subscribe.
And that was quite well hidden. The PlayStation Plus was... So to play online on PS3 was always free. And PlayStation Plus came out and everybody said, this is you doing Xbox Live. They were like, no, you don't pay for online gaming. And they did these, you know, here's a monthly magazine and here's a two or three free games.
Here are the benefits
kind of
you're
stuff.
Getting for that, yeah.
And on the slide at E3, at the bottom, it said multiplayer against PlayStation Plus. And it was a couple of the live blogs actually were like, does that mean it's the multiplayer's no longer free?
Yes,
and they
does.
Confirmed afterwards that, yeah, that's what it means.
Yeah, but again, that's not a bad thing necessarily. It's okay, it's costing you more money, but it's...
Chris the Tory.
It is costing
money,
but if it makes their service better, then that's a good thing. Destiny.
But nobody's going to... There's no guarantee the service is going to be better.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
True.
Sorry.
Destiny... This is again not exclusive, is it? We've seen trailers for this on Xbox.
Oh yeah, Destiny's multi-platform. Mm.
But it looked pretty impressive.
This is from Bungie. So this is their next game after Halo. And it's,
which looks like Halo, to be frank. It did initially anyway.
It looks like Halo, but also it's they've got these kind of, and from the actual, this is the first kind of gameplay we've seen. It looked like, you know, part Borderlands, but also this idea of you can be playing yourself, you can be playing online, and you can get dropped into, reminded me of kind of Warcraft, you know, there'll be kind of almost like, you know, mini boss battles and boss battles happening. You can join other people to help them and earn credits for it and upgrade guns and do all sorts. So they're still being quite vague about it all. Style-wise, it looks, you know, really impressive and...
But it is a kind of universe they're trying to create as well. It's like a look and feel, and it does have strong resemblance to the kind of Halo type idea. But they proved themselves multiple times over, it's quite exciting to think what they could be doing in a kind of new environment.
Definitely.
But yeah. So there you go. There's a game I'm actually a little bit excited about. Gaikai. Woo-hoo. What was that all about?
Gaikai is their streaming gaming service.
Ah, yes. And that's not out at launch. It's only out in 2014.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money on it. I think it was $300 million last year.
Yeah, and they haven't done anything with it, have they?
No, and people were surprised that there was no actual mention during the keynote, but it was slipped right in during the end.
And this is so that you can pretty much, they reckon you're going to play PS3 games, right, over an internet connection.
Yeah, but not all. That's really stressing, not all. They're all, I guess, very limited. Yeah, limited catalogue only.
Turn-by-turn card games.
well, can you remember when, was it the PS3 came out and they spent all that money saying you can do all these crazy PS2 games and then they had to kind of backtrack?
Rubbish, yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard much about on what was it called? On Live, yeah, recently, yeah, to see whether that's dead or still around.
It's still alive, but remember they went bust.
Yeah, so whether that is actually got a model that works there, I guess PS4 is going to be the best chance to find out whether that model is going to work, because it's going to have a you know, body of people there.
Yep.
And pricing, they another boom moment. $100 cheaper, $399, €399, €349. So pretty much just 100 down on each.
Yep. So £80 in the UK.
And if you know, and take an Xbox, that you really have to have an Xbox Live account as well. I mean, you don't have, that's not true, you don't have to, but it's pretty much expected, and yeah, that's another bit of tax in there, isn't it? So
yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you're kind of expecting that you have a PlayStation Plus account, you know, if you need to get online gaming, you're going to have to spend, yeah, you know, that money.
So that's the same on both, really.
And I think, yeah, hardware wise,
£100 is big money, especially in this arena,
and we're basically paying for Kinect.
The specs
and the consoles are so close. I mean, I think a couple of Microsoft people were trying to it's interesting Sony are taking a hit in their hardware prices to get it to, you know, to obviously try and get out.
Yeah, it's not like Xbox aren't either, though. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
shut up.
And it's like there is a clear difference in what you're buying, because there is a PlayStation Eye camera.
Yeah, and that's going to be £45, isn't it? So
exactly. So not as expensive as a Kinect, but I don't think it's as advanced as what the Kinect's doing. The Kinect is doing, you know, crazy stuff. But mine's
they obviously made that, like, that decision to put the Kinect in the box because they wanted that functionality available out there, so everyone used it or could use it at least and know that the technology is there. And who knows, maybe that will be an inspired move later in the cycle of all the games.
I don't know if you can remember when the 360 was getting talked about. They were controversially doing all this. It might come with a hard drive, it might not. Mm. And at first there was this, that there was no guarantee, so developers couldn't.
That's right.
Couldn't, so they'd never, know, assume the install, etc.
Never made the most of it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So Sony's also got a removable hard drive, so you can actually expand that if you want to open up. Probably ruin your warranty, but yeah, you've got 500 gig hard drive as you do on the Xbox One, but you can change it and upgrade it in the PS4. What else do we have?
Oh, there was a whole lot of specs that aren't very interesting.
No one cares about specs.
It'll come with one DualShock 4 controller. Which
£54 for a replacement or a new one.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money for a controller.
That's what I felt. You know, but they have got that touch.
Well, that's why it costs £54. But it, yeah, again, like, they're probably losing money on that as well. You know.
But, you know, if you've got, you know, somebody looking for two-player gaming, you know, it's like, ouch, that's... It just feels a lot. But day one console buyings are always an expensive thing.
Very,
you know,
expensive.
You're always away.
Shelling out for the hardware, and you've got to have at least three games, right?
I was going to say two, but realistically, I know there's three.
we've already talked about it, but they also confirmed all the DRM stuff is down to developers and their platform's open, so their developers can do as they wish. They won't do it for first party games. They're saying they will not DRM or lock them in, region lock them. In fact, they did say they weren't going to region lock as well, didn't they?
Yeah, whereas so, I think the Xbox is region locked.
Mm. There you go.
So then, young Christopher.
Mm.
So what have you got? What have you got right now? You've got a 360. You've got a PS3.
Yes.
As
a PS3 is used as a Blu-ray player, full stop. That's it, done. Xbox 360 at the moment is used as a DVD player, full stop. And you know, that is pretty much my gaming life at the moment. And I have to, I think I'm just getting a bit more cynical about gaming in general. But I thought about pre-ordering. It would be pretty sure it would be down the Xbox route, because for me that's tried, tested, and proven. And I know, I mean, because I never had a PS2 either, I think if I'd had a PS2 and had that kind of a tie-in with them from the past, I'd probably feel like going back to them now, but at the moment I don't. And I didn't, and well, that's the long and short of it, I didn't pre-order in the end. How about you?
I pre-ordered the Xbox a couple of weeks ago. As soon as it popped up on Amazon, I thought, well, why not? I'm not going to give game my money right now.
Yeah, it's a bit, because I thought exactly the same for the points that I'd get on my card. I don't trust them at the moment.
Shame on you.
I don't mean shame on them. I think it's a shame in general. But that they're going to go the way of the dodo, especially with these digital downloads.
But the bit I don't like is the fact that they take 20 quid now.
Yes.
And I just know
that that's a bit stinky. They've had bad form on this, didn't they? So
yeah, I just don't like that. And so I went down to Amazon, but didn't really... The thing that... See, if I look at it from a platform perspective, when I look at Xbox, PS2, and then 360 PS3, the Xbox has always been my kind of number one platform by quite a mile. Mm. And I thought the PS3 would have closed up, but it didn't. In some ways, it was even more of a gap. I just found the titles that came out in 360 were exclusives, where the ones I wanted to play, obviously the ones that are coming out in both, there was no difference between them, really.
Real fine details when you really dug in.
I still think the online experience in PS3 was just far worse.
Yeah, that I think they've kind of fixed it now. Well, people are saying they're fixing it.
It is better, but that whole, you know, everybody had different headset technologies and some worked and some didn't, and it just all felt really...
To be honest, now we just mute all the headsets anyway.
Exactly. So we're just going to party chat and just have a chat with ourselves.
Exactly. None of that social
So that doesn't
aspect.
Really matter. But from that perspective, I just felt... And there's little things, and well, it's not little things, it's a thing you use all the time. The controller has never felt comfortable for me, but if the exclusive first party titles were good on the Sony side, you can get an Xbox type controller for the Sony, no problem at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so for the all the times we moan about a controller, that's not really going to make me, you know, change a platform, because you can sort that problem. The games and the games, even when I compare them both now, I'd rather play Xbox.
And I think that certainly from what they're calling the service side of things, they're saying PS4 was a better consumer offering because of all the sharing you can do and stuff like that.
Yep.
From a gaming point of view, there was very much, again, pretty even all round, it looked like. I mean, I think Xbox showed more of games actually in action than PS4 did. And Sony did with the PS4. Straw poll of our mates, though, our gaming mates, and they're pretty... Again, they kind of maybe pre-ordered the Xbox, but they're fairly sure they're going to move over to the PS4.
I'm really torn, because I hate the way Microsoft, I hate the route Microsoft are going down.
I don't think it's Microsoft, I think it's publishers.
And you're probably right. We're probably just, it's a bit of a PR battle at the moment. Mm. And what we're seeing is that Microsoft really failed over the last week and Sony did really well. And we're probably that's in our heads right now. I just don't like the way it's going. See if I wasn't the type of person that just bought an Android tablet just so he could play with Android. You know, I would probably be sitting here right now saying I'm ordering none of these because I'm not going to get the value out of them. You know, that I should do.
But pretty much, you know, eventually you'll be spending $1,000 and got both of them.
I'm determined not to buy both.
It ends up happening.
It just does. Don't grin at me like that.
It just does. It ends up. It happened to me. I swore it was never going to happen.
I know, but that was because that foolish Gran Turismo game.
You know, it happened because it was so bloody long between the two consoles that it was a way of getting a new console without getting a new console. Waste of money, though. Tell you that. Waste of money.
Well, did you not pick it up at all? Was it not all that whole Blu-ray HD DVD debate? And then people started picking up PS3s when the HD DVD bit died, and it was like that was the best way of getting a good Blu-ray player.
I didn't know. I didn't. I just
were you after that.
Well, after that, way after.
Oh no. Okay.
okay. So Nintendo did have some announcements to make, although they didn't bother with a show. Probably because there's not a lot to Nintendo. they came out. They showed us Super Mario 3D World, so the latest kind of Super Mario, Mario Kart. They're kind of living in the past here. Mario Kart 8 with now anti-gravity tracks, so you can zoom around the edges of tracks. Zelda, all around you. Again, Donkey Kong. That's, well, 1960s, 70s, maybe?
So Donkey Kong, Mario Kart, and Super Mario 3D World were actually new games. Legend of Zelda is actually a remake of Wind Waker with a couple of new bits in it.
They've been remaking those games for so many years now, it's unbelievable. Super Smash Brothers not out till 2014, but they have got the Wii Fit trainer in there, and that's quite funny.
Yeah, but the Wii Part You and the Wii Fit You, which they've been talking about, it's now been delayed.
Yes,
they actually apologised. They apologised at E3, which it says a lot.
Yeah,
for the company to come out and say, "Look, we're really sorry."
They're struggling, and they don't know whether probably to spend the money on it. Really, Bayonetta. Where do they cut the losses? So Bayonetta's not. We haven't seen that for a while, but there you go. Bayonetta 2's coming out for it.
And Pikmin 3.
Bayonetta was one of those games that got a load of massively good review scores. Never really scored it with the consumer. Yeah, Pikmin 3. Wow, there we go. That was Nintendo.
Apple are going to buy them. Apple are going to buy them and release Mario on every iOS bloody device.
Do what Nintendo probably should have done in the first place.
Yeah.
EA, they had their own announcements as well as showing off their games in during the big announcements. But Plants vs. Zombie, Garden Warfare, sort of, I don't know how it's going to work. It's probably going to be quite funny. Peggle 2. Again, these are very, very, I mean, EA have so gone console. iOS and portable, haven't they?
Well, it's because they bought PopCap, so PopCap are behind these two, but they got some of the biggest cheers of the night.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre how games like this, just really simple but addictive games, have really infected people.
Yeah, Titan 4, so we talked about that.
Yeah.
Star Wars Battlefront, they did a sort of teaser clip on that. I don't really know anything about it, but Star Wars Battlefront games are generally can be quite funky if you like that kind of thing.
It was almost too early, but it was almost just like, we're doing it. Come back in a couple of years.
Need for Speed Rivals look just like the last Need for Speed. Yeah. All the new FIFAs and Maddens and NBAs and with all their kind of intelligence that they've added in there. Yeah.
There was some videos today of FIFA and some reports actually coming out today. So I guess there must have been some sort of embargo on because it kind of came out today, not rather than on Monday or Tuesday. And there was people saying that a reporter saying that they could actually see the difference. So the game actually felt a lot superior, but the visuals actually were surprisingly quite a step up.
Well, good for that. Good for them.
Yeah.
Battlefield 4, so we talked about that already, but 64 more player. So again, massive scale on that game. Whether they're going to be able to put the infrastructure in place to support that scale, who knows? They haven't had a good track record.
No.
Mirror's Edge 2, again, that got people excited. Another game which got good reviews and never really kicked it in the charts.
No.
But I know the people I know that have played it said they quite liked it.
Yep. And this is the second one. And again, no date. It was almost just like, let's end on a promise.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge was that. It was a free running game, wasn't it? So it was all about that. No guns and stuff. You're just escaping from baddies. And then Ubisoft kind of kicked it quietly, really. They had three games that they released, three bigger announcements that all look pretty spot on, actually. The Division was probably, I think that was the biggest one. If that was kind of an open world, right? With was it police based?
Yeah, and you said it was sort of
It's a Clancy universe.
Yeah, but. It was as they played it, it
felt very solid, didn't it? It looked
yeah,
and it
very
actually gained
rich,
footage, yes.
Very rich environment.
I mean, grimy rich, as in properly dirty and felt real.
But I was watching that and I was like, oh, I want to play that.
Mm.
One of the few games that I saw, I was like, I want to play that right now.
Definitely the kind of evolution of like the Rainbow Six. It looked like, that kind of evolution coming on.
And it's funny you mentioned Rainbow Six, because we've not seen that for, 5-6 years?
Mm, and that was huge,
Yep, but they did announce at the show that is coming out for next gen.
Okay.
So they are going to kind of reboot that and bring that out. So that'll be interesting.
They had the Assassin's Creed game, sort of the next iterations of that. And
Watch Dogs.
Yeah, again, go on, take us through Watch Dogs.
So Watch Dogs was one of the games from, I guess it was shown last year, alongside the Star Wars game, and everybody thought that's not current console tech, that's going to be a next gen game. So this is the one where you're kind of like a hacker and you're walking around, your cell phone can hack into different things, and the cities, it's like almost like a city of the future, and the police are after you, and you actually saw some actual gameplay as they walked through it. It looked actually really quite special. The guy was surrounded by police at one point and he kind of accessed his phone and basically took the lights down in the city, and again graphically being able to see that,
yeah,
and obviously the scale of it, And again, that was just another one. It was another one of those. It's just like that looks sufficiently, you know, a sufficient upgrade from what we're currently playing to make it worthwhile.
That's an old person's thing to say. That'll sufficiently suffice my needs. Thank you very much.
I am old. Yeah. Come on.
Splinter Cell, Blacklist, they're sort of next in the Splinter Cell, because that's one thing that has sort of carried on past the Rainbow Six kind of deadness.
Yeah.
So that obviously has succeeded. I mean, again, quite an iconic gaming franchise. It was never for me, that game. I never liked it that much. It was too sneaky sticky.
I actually liked the first one, and then I found the next one that came out, I just got a bit bored.
Yeah,
it was like,
I gave up after that. Splinter Cell was the first one that gave you contextual buttons. So when you were underneath a window ledge, you know, the A button would do such and such, and when you were by a tree, it would do something else. It was the first one that really opened you up to what a game could nowadays do. It was the first time that cinematics looked like they'd come alive and you were controlling them. And everyone does it now.
Yep. And I just feel with Division, Watchdog, Assassin's Creed, it looked like a step up. Mm. And all of them are also got iOS and Android companion apps. So in different ways you'll be able to interact. And again, the thing that's going to make that, it's only going to make that playable if it happens without big pauses. You see some of the smart glass stuff that came out with Halo. It was like it was a second or two to actually go and do something. Delay. And it's like, I'm playing a first-person shooter.
I can't look down there.
I've no time for that.
Yeah. And then Fez 2, that's been an announcement. Well, I think that came out, well, today's probably coverage.
Came out about 10 minutes before we started.
Looks very Tron-like.
Yeah. So I'm interested, there's no actual gameplay. It was just this kind of, you know, here comes Fez 2 with a kind of Tron-like Daft Punk music-esque video.
But Fez was, I never got to the end of it. Gutted it, actually, that I didn't get to the end of that game. I fell out of, you know, playing it. And then once you get out of the habit of it, you kind of lose where you are, because you really had to know where you were to know where you needed to get to. But yeah, great little game. And indie game, that one.
Yep. And
now no longer indie.
No, exactly. And the only other thing I was going to add in was, it seemed to be we saw three or four different small Android consoles kind of talked about at E3. You know, so this kind of concept of you know, 50 to 100 quid, and you've got a little gaming console sitting there that can play Android games, and you know, can play multiplayer and, you know, Bluetooth connectors, etc.
So Ouya is the biggest of those. That was the Kickstarter project that actually has now come to fruition. So you can go and buy an Ouya console, which is basically Android. And they were actually kind of at the conference, but they're in the like a car park opposite. And they had they would like set up their own little conference that said free to enter for everybody. but then it really kicked off, because the E3 organizers decided that they would rent lot spaces in front of where they had this Ouya conference going on, and they parked massive articulated lorries in the way so you couldn't see it from the main entrance. And then they got stinky. Then Ouya rented a couple in front of those big trucks and put massive signs up, and apparently the police then got involved to check that Ouya had all the permits. But as soon as they proved they had the permits, they apparently left them to it. But a bit stinky, it was a bit horrible. Great coverage.
Exactly, but massive dicks.
Yeah.
And it's almost like something like I could see like the two teams in The Apprentice doing, you know, just like doing something really crap.
That's exactly what it was like. But no, it's far, far better coverage for Ouya than they would have had if they'd just let them do it. I didn't know they were out there until all these things started kicking off, you know.
No, absolutely.
And
are you tempted by any of these? In any way, shape, or form, thinking,
not
you know, 50 quid, 80 quid, well, of course, because that's like a go faster strike for you right now.
Exactly. No, it's not at the moment. Because they're out of date as well, they're already behind the curve, and Android needs to still mature more before it's ready for things like that. But interesting, you know, I like that they're there. Don't get me wrong. I like that they're there, and I think it's an interesting way in, because the 100 quid boxes that could do just sort of streaming of movies as a concept, they're still relevant, and these boxes can do that as well. So actually it's like those boxes plus additional games and stuff as well.
And one of the things that interested me about it was Xbox Media Center, so you can download an Xbox Media Center client, and that will work and play back 1080p movies, etc., which is very nice
indeed. And that's kind of where are we up to with E3, really? I expect that's most of the massive announcements all happened. We might get a couple more.
There's obviously loads more, but I just honestly could not be arsed.
No, I mean, because everything just looks generic at the end of the day. You have a load of middle-aged men getting very excited when you watch all these reports, and there's only so much you could see of someone who should probably have more of a life whooping and hollering at the next game. This is showing my cynical side now, right? And that's the end of our podcast, our double header marathon podcast-a-thon, which again, hopefully as listeners, you will never get the feeling that that was a massive, onerous task.
I just hope you two have the X-bone after that hour-long podcast.
Our slickness and professionalism, I'm sure, would have carried you through those 2 hours of chatting that we've just had.
You certainly carried me, Chris, so thanks for that.
Pleasure.
Oh no!
You can have to cut that out. That's what you. You can find out more about us at digitaloutbox.com. Email us info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype us. Digital Outbox. It's all gone a bit loony. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. You can find out how I get on this weekend at my racing at academyracer.co.uk.
Come on!
And where can we find you in?
Twitter Sweeper. And blog is END.net.
Alrighty. Thanks for listening.
Catch you later.
Laters.
The worst bit is I'll be going to bed tonight and I'll hear you saying pleasure with that smell on your face. It's just wrong. Oh, no.